Well, praise the Lord. Here we are once again. Yeah, it's Thursday. And yes, it is my favorite day. And, you know, I'm really excited about today. And I'm excited about every Thursday. You know, everybody that comes here to share their testimony. And everyone that comes here to hear their testimony and whatever the Lord's laid on their heart. And those that have come here to listen. This ministry belongs to you. It belongs to each and every one of you. You know, the Lord God, he ain't no respecter of man, and he loves each and every one of you just like he loves each and every one of you. And this ministry was put together by him for you. And for those of you that are coming through the Lord's Round Table, you know, I definitely appreciate seeing you on here. I love it when we can all come together and sit across the table and just have good conversation. For those of you that are listening, whatever part of this world you find yourself on, you know, I say you find yourself on. You know, God had a plan for each and every one of us before we were even conceived in our mother's womb, before the foundations of the world. And he had a plan for you, and that's why you're where you are on the part of this world. He has you there for a specific reason, and it's exciting when he reveals that to us. But for those of you that are listening through the internet radio that might be just stumbling along, and you don't stumble along, this is a divine appointment. God draws who he wants. And you've been drawn here tonight. There's something here tonight that each and every one of you need to hear. So I'm sure you're going to hear it. But anyways, my name is Steve, and I'm the doorman at the Lord's Round Table. And there's something I want to share before I introduce our brother. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and I ask them to tell me about their born-again experience. I don't ask them if they're saved. I ask you if you're saved. You can lie. I ask you to share your born-again experience. But you just can't think of a story that quick. But, you know, it's by sharing your testimony. And that's the point I want to bring out here. It says that they were overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. You know, with Jesus Christ, when we call upon his name, we get that transformation. We live for Jesus Christ. Our lives mean nothing anymore. You know, to live and die in Christ is gain. You know, Edward, I'm going to get fired up here in a minute. I'm going to shut up. So I'm going to shut up so that, you know, I don't get fired up. Our brother that's amen. With us, amen, our brother that's with us here tonight is Edward Parker. And for those of you that talk to me on a regular basis, you know all about the ministry that he's involved in, Health Fighters. I'll tell you what, this ministry excites me beyond. You know, it's a huge ministry. They're doing an awesome thing with people, helping them through addictions, teaching them trades and that. And this ain't government funded. This ain't by big organizations. These are people like you and me, each and every one of us. No greater and no less. So, Brother Edward, I am excited to have you here with us this evening. And I'm going to shut up, turn my mic down, and I'm just going to sit back and listen. So the floor is all yours, brother.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Steve. I appreciate that, man. As he said, my name is Edward Parker. I go by Eddie. Most people call me Eddie Parker. At one time, my street name was Fat Cracker. So that is one of the names that I went by for many years in prison and on the street. I'm just going to give this thing a title tonight. It's called From the Penthouse to the Pen and Then Delivered from a Life of Sin in the Name of Jesus Christ. I just want to tell y'all right now, anybody that's listening, I am a child of God. My name, like I said, is Eddie Parker, and I was conceived in a prison on Christmas Day, and it seems like I just couldn't wait to get back in there. I was raised to be a criminal. I wasn't raised by churchgoers. I was raised by criminals. Both my parents, my mom is passed now, but both my parents have been to prison. I was taught all the bad stuff. And anyway, it wasn't long. As a teenager, I found myself getting into some trouble. And it wasn't long in my late teens that I found myself with a pretty lengthy prison sentence. But I don't want to give the devil any glory at all, other than the fact that when I was released from prison, I became a homeless man. And I lived on the streets there in Pensacola for nearly 8 years. And there's a ministry there called The Living Room. And one of our Hellfighter brothers named Morgan Miller, he runs that place. And I frequented The Living Room during these 8 years. And many times I heard the word preached there. And many times I was drawn back there. Couldn't really ever understand exactly why, but now we know why, because Jesus Christ loves me. He loves everybody. He loves you. He loves us more than we can ever imagine that he loves us. Well, during this time, one of my times at the Living Room in July 22nd of 2017, I accepted Jesus Christ. I was living under a bridge. I was drinking and I was drugging on a daily basis. And I met the Lord that night. And I know for a fact there was men praying for me to get some help. Morgan was one of them, and another man that helps him down there named Russell, and another guy named Todd, just many, many guys down there that were praying for me. And one day, August 19th of 2017, Morgan finally got these men up here, a man named Mike Shirley, here at Mission at the Cross. He's the director of the Mission at the Cross, and he's also the president for our Hellfighter chapter here in Laurel. And he allowed Morgan to bring me up here. Boy, what a mistake that was, wasn't it? I tried to take over the place. But anyway, upon me being delivered up here on August 20th, I began to sit under the reading, the teaching, and preaching of the Holy Bible. And somehow, some way, the Lord allowed me to get out of the way and become a student of the Word of God. And man, what a blessing that is, because as a young Christian, and I'm still a Christian baby, if you will, but I'm learning more and more every day, because we have wonderful teachers and preachers that come here that sow into each and every man that gets to come here. And upon finishing the program, but let me just back up for 1 second. Upon checking in to the mission, I was immediately asked to refrain from cursing, drinking, drugging, fornicating. Just immediately, everything has to stop. I've never used tobacco, but you have to stop that too if you come here to the Mission at the Cross. And whether you know it or not, you need Jesus. There is, outside of Christ, there is no life. So I would love to tell you I was going through this program that I've been a graduate of for nearly 3.5 years now, over 3.5 years now, that I did read my Bible every night. Now, there's not a day that goes by I don't read my Bible now, because I got to have the Word of God. I got to get fed. But at this time, I didn't realize how important it was. But I'd love to tell you that I did read my Bible every day and every night when I was going through the program, but I'll tell you one thing, I read it a bunch, and you know what, it saved my life, it changed my stinking thinking. And just one of the verses I just want to share with you guys, y'all have heard it a million times, but John 14:6, I am the truth, the life, and the way. Nobody can come to the Father except by me, and that's probably paraphrasing a little bit, guys, but I just wanted to say that verse. I think it's a very important verse. And there's another verse that I kind of hold on to around here. It's Psalms 118:8. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's so important for each and every one of us to put confidence in God, not man. To trust in God, that God's got this. The Bible is the Word of God, and the Word is Jesus. And it was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And Jesus saved me. I know I've learned something, guys, and I'm just going to give you a little idea of what I've learned. And this ain't for nobody to answer. Just answer this one to yourselves. How many people listening have been a victim? See, I found out in life there's two kinds of people. There's victims and there's victors. And if you're a victim until you meet Jesus Christ. But when you meet Jesus Christ, you have victory. So put 1 Corinthians 15:5, but thanks to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I was a victim, and I had that victim mentality. But when I met Jesus on July 22nd, 2017, I knew that was over for me. You know, I got myself into jail. I got myself into prison. I got myself into whatever else I wanted to do. But only one way, only one thing, only one person can get me to heaven, and that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I just want to say that right now. I love you, Jesus. I love you. So upon getting to the mission, on that August 20th day in 2017, I checked in and I become a student. I finished the program. When I finished the program, our house leader was very sick with cancer, named Roger Tucker, and he passed on to be with the good Lord now. And somehow, some way, the Lord allowed me to become the house leader of the Mission at the Cross. And I was the house leader for nearly 2.5 years. And I was blessed to be able to do that. But the Lord's gave me a new assignment. And I'm still very much a part of the mission, and I help with many of the day-to-day operations, but he's given us a new house leader now, and he's doing a wonderful job. But I really do. I try to sow into the men still. I still take the men out on outings. Right now, my new job is I do a lot of the transport and purchasing of our motorcycles at our bike shop, and all this is very important because it keeps the mission free of charge for men that want to come and learn about God and change their life. And every person, every male employee at our bike shop has come through our mission. And I just want to say, God be the glory of that. And so, if anybody, has any questions, Mr. Steve, I'd be willing to ask, answer anything I can. But that's just basically the highlights of my life. Right now, I work and I sew into men and I'm around men. We can check in up to 22 men in the program. A lot of times we keep around 15 guys in our program. We also have graduates here, that stay working with us here at the Mission at the Cross and Hellfighters USA. Anyway, man, it's just it's a wonderful opportunity. I'm glad you allowed me to come and share, and I'm available as long as you need me to be to answer any questions y'all got for me.
Well, you know what, Ed? You know, when I sit and I listen to this ministry, and I've known about the ministry for a little over a year now. But one day some guy mailed me a Bible, one of your guys' Bibles. And it caught my attention, and I said, man, I got to track these guys down and see what this is all about. And so I knew about the ministry, you know, I knew how it had started and the years of operation and that. But then when I talked to you and I talked to Mike and, you know, and following us on Facebook and that, you see the other side of it as well. I was pumped up as it was over what Hellfighters is all about. But what is really amazing about it too is, you know, you take like you. You know, you had a rough life, you had a rough start right out of the gate. You know, being conceived in prison. You know, I mean, come on, how does it start any further down than that? But then to go through the program, and it's not the program that changed you, it was Jesus Christ, which you all give testimony of that. You don't hesitate, and I love that. It ain't a 10-step, 12-step program. It's a one-step, and that's to the foot of the cross. And then to take the guys that have made this, you know, made this step to the cross and watch the transformation of Jesus Christ in their life, delivering them and setting them free and restoring them and raising them up, and then working within the ministry, because who better to talk to an addict than an addict? Who better to talk to a drunk than a drunk? You know, you ain't got somebody that read some book trying to blow smoke up your pole. You know what I'm saying? You guys lived it, and you're serving, and it just blows my mind, you know, that it puts it together for me is what it does. And you guys' ministry is awesome. I wish I'd have been able to be up in Napoleon when you brought my bike up there and met you, but unfortunately the schedule wasn't there for that. But if anybody else got any comments or questions, feel free to jump in here. You know how it is. The table is open. Or is that the floor? What's that, Sue?
I said, how about the door is open?
There you go. See, what I do, Eddie, is when I'm not sure anybody's on here, you know, if nobody's paying attention, I'll say something I know that's wrong. And then I see how many people correct me. Then I know they're still here. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. Right. I'm just kidding.
Well, so, I tell you this.
We'll be on you like a rat on a Cheeto, you goof up here, man. We don't take no prisoners.
That's right. I got a quote that I use on a regular around here. If you want to win, put Jesus in.
Amen.
And I come up with these little slogans from time to time. I got another one called March It Out Monday. And these guys, they get a visit every other Sunday. And when they get their visit, usually they're flying pretty low on Monday. And I call it March It Out Monday. No matter how high you jump on Sunday, guess what? You got to march it out on Monday.
Amen. Amen.
And I just want to say, you know, when Richard Hedrick and Gina Hedrick founded this ministry, I mean, man, I just want to say thank you to them. Richard, he's gone on to be with the good Lord. But Miss Gina is still marching this thing out, and she's still very much a big, huge, huge part of this thing, man. She is an awesome lady, and, you know, she's just, she loves men, and she sews into men. And, I mean, if women call, we always have somebody available to find a place they can go. We don't have a place for women, but we have people out there that can place women too. You know, if women need help, we never just say, well, we don't do women, click. You know, we try to find them somewhere to be.
Amen. Amen. So down there in Laurel, do you all have like a kitchenette? Do you you know, how are the guys fed? Is it something you bring in from outside?
Yes, sir. This is a typical day at Mission at the Cross. Yes, sir. We have a full kitchen, and we provide, I say, three meals a day. It's really more like five. We get the guys up. We have a 6 a.m. devotion. It's wake ups at 4. The kitchen guy and the house leader, they get up at 4 o'clock. They cook breakfast. And then at 5 o'clock, the men get up. 6 o'clock devotion. That's all the men in the program and the graduates. And 99% of the time, Mike Shirley, the director, he'll be there as well. And sometimes we have two to four days a week, we'll have a preacher or a speaker or a teacher come at that hour. Believe it or not, there's people up at that time wanting to sow in the men. And then the other times, we'll have the men. We hear from the men that are in the program. We pick a couple guys, say, hey, you got devotion in the morning. We want to hear where you're reading at in the Bible and what Jesus is doing in your life. Because our mission, and if you've been here, when people say, what's the success rate? Our success rate is 100%, because 100% of the people that come to the Mission at the Cross, even for an interview, even if they don't get checked in, they hear about Jesus Christ. It's 100% of the people that come here, of the men that come here or check in or just for an interview, they've heard about the good Lord, about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the mission, is to get men saved. And we've checked in over 1,300 men, and I'd love to tell you they're all doing great, and we'd love to tell you they were all still here. I mean, Mike, he hates to see any of them leave ever, but it's not true. Some of them have gone to do wonderful and amazing things. Some of them ended up back in bad life, and some of them are still here, you know. So God's still at work. I mean, he's still on the throne. He's still up high looking low, and he still loves.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, as far as the different vocations that you teach them, how do they work into that? I mean, do they have to, have someone? Go ahead.
When a guy checks into the mission, usually for the first 2 to 3 months, he'll have to do what I would just say is maybe menial labor. But we have guys, you know, work around the mission. Some guys cook, some guys clean, some guys wash clothes. Some guys have to do yard work. I mean, we got 6 acres and 6 buildings in downtown Laurel, so there's a lot of work to do here. And we also have a lake that we have to maintain and keep up, too, that belongs to the ministry. So, we got plenty of yard work to do during the summer. But guys, after they've shown some interest and I hate to say it, but if a guy seems that he's very interested in working on motorcycles, we teach guys how to work on motorcycles. We have carpenters. We're constantly doing projects around here. We got guys learning carpentry, and we got all the guys learning painting and sheetrock, and we got guys learning many, many trades. And some guys come here with already trades, and they're teaching us stuff. I mean, God orchestrates everything. He puts people where they need to be. We got guys that work in sales. We got guys that work in retail. We got, believe it or not, we got a gun store right in the middle of this whole place. So guys that have never been in trouble with the law, that have clean records, we even got some of them guys that after they finish the program, they can even maybe work in the gun store. So, I mean, it's many things can happen. You just have to be seeking the Lord's face, and you just have to follow Jesus. I mean, I know it sounds so easy, and it's the hardest thing anybody's ever tried to do here. And people say, how does that work? And I just say, man, it's Jesus. I mean, Jesus uses the dumb things of the world to confound the wise. I mean, it's all in the Bible, and, you know, I have trouble understanding a lot of this stuff in the Bible, but I'll tell you one thing. He reveals to me every day another mirror. So, I tell you, we're blessed.
Amen, amen. You know, I'm just totally amazed. The more I hear about Hellfighters, the more amazed I am. You know, a few of the things that you named off there, I had heard about, but the different buildings and that you own through in the town and that, the acreage and, you know, everything that you got going on. And I still go back to the same thing. This wasn't because of big churches getting involved and, you know, government getting involved. These were people that God had called to this ministry to do what you guys are doing. And, you know, there's a thing that we say quite a bit down, you know, on our lines and that, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And God, it definitely, Hellfighters is God's will. Because with everything y'all got going on and bringing in people, and if I recall correctly, even if a man doesn't even have any kind of health insurance or anything, you guys ain't going to turn him away because he doesn't have no money. Right. You're going to make a way for him to be able to go through the treatment. And that, I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
Yeah, our place is free of charge. And the way we always tell guys is the way we keep it free is because we have men that are willing to put their hands on something every day. That's how you're paying for your own ministry by the work that you do.
Amen.
So instead of, you know, because by the time we meet somebody, Mr. Steve, the drug dealer's already got all the money. So he's going to have grandma, grandpa, mama, daddy, or somebody pay for him to go to rehab. And we don't want to put that burden on a family. But I will say there are a lot of churches on board with us that help us pay the bills around here when it comes to the ministry, when it comes to the mission. There's many, many wonderful people and churches that do donate. And, you know, we love to help men, but we are a Bible-based mission. You have to be able to sit, willing to sit, under the reading, teaching, and preaching of the Holy Bible to come here. That is one of their requirements. We will have to hear you say that in order for us to check you in the mission that you call.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, knowing that, you know, you guys focus it all around Jesus Christ, and we know that that's the true deliverer. Outside of Jesus Christ, it's just all a circus, you know, a pony show.
When Mike and I do the interviews with the men, Stephen, we have to tell the guys that you will not quit using drugs for your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your girlfriend, your wife, your children. The only entity that I know of you'll quit doing anything for is Jesus Christ. You have to love Jesus. You have to put him in his proper place in your life, which is above all things. He is God. He is your Savior. And if we put the dope, we got to run as hard for Jesus as we did for the dope and the alcohol and the women. I mean, we have to. And if you can't understand that, we used to walk 10 miles to go get some dope, but we won't walk 10 minutes to go to church. Something's wrong in America. Something's wrong with people. I mean, you got to want to change. You got to want God. You got to love God. You got to put him first. You got to put him first, and you got to put him first. That's where he belongs. He belongs first.
Amen, amen. You know, you look at the normal family that are out here, I would say that statistics are probably pretty close to 8 out of 10 families have somebody that's dealing with some type of addiction. It might even be higher than that. You know, back in the day, it didn't seem like there was that much, but now it seems like there's more with addiction in the families than there are straight families, if you want to use that terminology. And so, you know, this is a ministry that should be dear to everybody's heart. You know, we know about, you know, AA and all these other ones, but it's not Christ-centered. You know, even though AA started out being Christ-centered, they conformed because they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to isolate anybody. And that's, you know, that's, well, we ain't even going to go there. But when it's Christ-centered, such as Hellfighters is, you know, people got to come around that. You know, they got to do whatever they can to try to support that. Because you know what? Even if they don't have somebody in their family that's addicted to drugs, you know, they're going to feel the repercussions of it, of the neighbor's kid being addicted to drugs, you know, with what comes around that type of atmosphere. So, you know, everybody is involved in this. And I think everybody should, you know, should at least pray for these ministries. You know, pray for Hellfighters and pray for all those that are coming through the program. So you say that you can take up to 22 at a time. Is it like you guys got a waiting list?
Well, we've never done a waiting list, Steve. It's first come, first serve, and what we require, a face-to-face interview, and we literally do take guys from anywhere in the country. But we just require that face-to-face interview. If somebody calls, we have availability. We tell them to come on down for an interview. And they just have to meet a certain criteria. And we ask certain questions, and we just make sure. We do our homework, so to speak. And if somebody's willing, we usually check them in right away, and we just move on after that. And that's how it works with us. So we've never done a waiting list. We just, when somebody calls, if it's time and we have available spot, we do it.
Amen, amen. Well, can we count this as my interview? Because I'm ready to come. You know, I'll give some kind of little, just some kind of little type of addiction. I'm just too old to chase that monster anymore. But I'm ready to come down there. So we're going to count this as my face-to-face interview.
Yes, sir. Well, you come down and check us out, man. Have a look around. Enjoy the day here at Hellfighters. Man, we got a wonderful, beautiful 83,000-square-foot motorcycle shop. We have a, I don't know the specs on the Mission, but it's a three-story Mission. And it's got all the bells and whistles. And the most important place it has a place called the Hold Fast Chapel. And that's where we conduct our meetings and our morning devotion and our evening devotions. And that's where if somebody's really serious about changing their life, they can get along with God in there. The 9 to 10 hour every evening, every night, is for guys to go in there and read their Bible. It's quiet time. And a lot of the men, they do take advantage of that. And I'm so proud of them for doing that. And we're a 12-month in-house faith-based program. So, I mean, it's 12 months, 360 days that they have to really learn. And that's the other thing, Steve. We don't just ask a guy to leave at the end of his time. We got apartments around here. So a guy can move and stay with us. And some guys get jobs with us. Some guys get jobs with our parent company. And some guys, you know, they move on and work outside of here and still stay with us. So, I mean, there's hope after dope, and his name's Jesus Christ.
I like that. I like that. If anybody else got any questions, I know I can't be the only one that's getting fired up over this.
I was just wondering, you guys got, like Steve Kaplan says, where they got to quit smoking and quit any kind of addiction, period?
Yes, sir, that's true. There's no medicine here other than, like, blood pressure medicine. You know, we don't allow any psych meds. We don't allow any tobacco products, nothing to help you get off tobacco. We don't allow any drugs, any alcohol. We don't allow any of that.
Yeah, that's cool, because I didn't know that about the Teen Challenge program, too, is when, you know, they're similar to you guys, but there's no cigarette smoking, no tobacco, none of that. They make it all go away.
That's right. That's what we do here.
That's why my daughter wouldn't go to Teen Challenges, because she did not have her priorities straight. She could not give up her cigarette.
That's right. Well, I don't think a cigarette will send you to hell, but it sure make you smell like you've been there.
That's right.
Glad I don't have a habit no more. Thank you,
Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. I tell you what, I definitely, you know, I'm definitely pumped up about Hellfighters. And, you know, like I said, those that know me, that tonight's not the first that they've heard about Hellfighters. And, you know, anything that we could do that would be able to assist, I would definitely be on board with that. I think Todd ought to buy another motorcycle and buy it from you guys. He bought one out in the world there.
That's what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you, I got another verse I'd just like to share. And this is really another thing that I've been dealing with some men lately, is one thing we don't ever do here is call men anything but men, and we never call them outside their name, or we call them men. I don't never call a man a boy. I don't never try to put a man down. I try to build men into men. And this Bible verse right here has really led me to, it just put it in my face. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." We have to get our priorities straight here in America. And here at Mission at the Cross, we are helping men get their priorities straight. And the first priority needs to be Jesus Christ. And everything else is going to fall into place. When you start putting God first, everything else falls into place.
That's right. Let's just say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Right. You know, with not counting the men that are coming through the program, how many staff? How many people do you have on staff?
Well, we have several guys that are hellfighters here, and we have a Hellfighter Motorcycle Ministry. That's the guys that wear the three-piece patches, and we also have Hellfighter Foot Soldiers. Those are the guys that are not bike riders yet or don't have any desire to ride bikes. They can still be a patch member of our ministry. So what we do is we have a Hellfighter that lives over there at the mission. We also have a house leader, and so basically we got those two guys on board there, and then we have the director, which is Mike, and then we have myself. I'm on the leadership team, and our ministry vice president for the Laurel unit, Sean Lubin, he also helps direct, guide, lead the men. So that's about all of us. I mean, there's about five guys. I got another guy named Alan. He come through the program. He's been around here about 3 years. He's another guy on our leadership team. I don't want to overlook anybody. I want to make sure I say everybody. So I would say there's about six guys here that are kind of leading and guiding and directing the men. But we tell the men on a daily basis, every single one of you guys are leaders. You're either going to lead somebody the right way or the wrong way. So, I mean, that's what we got here. And, you know, on a daily basis, and you watch men grow, and you got men as they grow, you put more trust in them, and there's no doubt I can send guys out to do certain tasks, and with the right leader, they get them done.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, you look at it even this way, Eddie, you know, where you came from, and, you know, the position that you're in right now, with Hellfighters. I mean, that's got to be pretty darn cool, traveling all over the country, picking up motorcycles and, you know, and bringing them back.
I mean,
and that's not a responsibility that just gets thrown out. You know, hey, yeah, maybe you could do this. You had to have proven yourself to take on that kind of a responsibility and have that much trust in you to be able to do that.
Well, I can tell you this, Mike, he would tell you I'm definitely probably one of the most trusted men on this property, and he says it in a joking way, but I know he means it. You know, he'll say, well, you know, I probably wouldn't have let him come up here if I knew he was going to take the place over. But you know, I am very trusted man, and I don't take that for granted, and I don't take that lightly. I'm blessed to have a mentor like Mike in my life, and Mr. Richard, and Mr. You know, he's still here in spirit, man. I mean, we're still trying to, you know, do things the way he would want them done. And, you know, Mike's worked for Mr. Richard for, I want to say, nearly 38 years now. And, you know, he's definitely been sewed into by Mr. Richard. And Miss Gina, she ain't changed a thing. She loves to do it the way Richard always did it. And so, you know, I'm just blessed to have mentors in my life that have sewed into me, that have trusted me. But this is the thing I want to really, for anybody that listens to this podcast, when a man checks into the mission at the cross, whatever they were before, whether it was a drug addict or a thief or any of that, we don't treat them like that. From the day you get here, you are trusted. You're immediately trusted. We trust you to do the right thing, and we always give you the lead way to prove or disprove your honesty and your integrity, because we want to treat people like men, and the only way we found that it works is if we just start doing it from the gate.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, Mike's got a trust in you and a respect for you, or you wouldn't be on the Lord's Roundtable here tonight. I wouldn't have heard nothing about you. You know,
that's Mike Grubb. So we got two Mikes here. You got Mike Grubb, which you know, and then you have Mike Shirley, which is Mike Shirley is the director of the mission. Mike Grubb is our national president of Hellfighter Motorcycle Ministry. So just to clear that up, we got two Mikes, and both of them have been wonderful mentors to me. Mike Grubb is our pound-the-ground guy that goes out to all the different units that we have and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, which I've never heard a bad thing about anybody except they're all followers of Christ. They love the Lord, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. And Mike, he's Mike Grubb, Cali Mike is what we call him here at the Mission. And he's a wonderful man, and he's a family man, and he's been to the bad places, but now he's a child of God as well, and he's one of my go-to guys if I need advice or if I need a prayer. He's never, ever, ever turned me down for any of that. So, I mean, he's a blessing.
Amen.
And then
amen.
Mike Sterley, he's a big mentor of mine. He's my boss here at the bike shop. He's the director of operations here at the motorcycle shop, as well as director of the Mission at the Cross Recovery Center. And he's our boss, he's our leader, and man, he's just he's a blessing, and he's just an awesome, and he's got a wife, Miss Lexi, and then she's a wonderful lady, and she helps too with any of the day-to-day operations around here too. She's a feisty one, and then we just love that in.
Amen, amen. Well, throw your contacts out there for anybody that wants to look yous all up, see what yous all about in more depth than what we heard here tonight.
Well, if you go on, you can go on hellfighters.org, and you can look up Mission at the Cross. You can look up Hellfighters Recovery Center, and you can also go on. You can just Google Hellfighters USA, and it'll pop right up. You can see our inventory. That's another one of my jobs that I do here at the bike shop is I upload all the pictures of all the bikes, and I keep the inventory on the website as well. So that's just another one of the things I do, and so it's just a blessing to be able to do that as well. But you can look at our bike shop on the website. You can see our inventory, and hey, there's everything here. We've got a gun store in the middle. And then we also have women's, children's, and men's apparel. And we just don't have motorcycle stuff, man. We got stuff for everybody here. So we got a full service department, too. And once your bike works on, we work on.
I know the first time I met Mike, he told me...
How many chapters you guys got?
No, go on, Todd.
How many chapters you guys got?
What do you say?
Hey, Eddie, how many chapters have you guys got of the bike club, the Hellfighters Bike Club?
Well, we call them units, but I want to say we have 26 units, and we have them in 14 states.
Okay, cool. How far north do you go?
Yeah. Well, we're all the way to Nebraska, so.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And we have them in
Nebraska, Minnesota.
Yeah, we're not in Minnesota, I can tell you that, but we are in Nebraska. And you would have to get with Cali Mike Grubb to figure out how to start a unit, and he'd have to do a lot of corresponding with you, and he'd have to he'd meet you in person. I mean, we would love to start some units in different places. We just got to make sure, do our homework, and people are on the same page as we are.
Well, you're probably going to meet us in person. Steve and I are going to take a bike ride here next summer, and you guys' place is going to be one of our stops.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Come on down, and hopefully I'll be in town that when y'all come, and I'll be able to see y'all. A lot of my trips, I try to make in and out back in a day, you know, but sometimes I do have to spend the night overnight somewhere else. I'm going up. Y'all pray for me. I'm headed to Virginia on Monday, so y'all pray I have a safe trip, and I'm going to do a big loop. I got to go to Virginia, and then I'm going to hit South Carolina. I'm going to hit Georgia, and then I'm going to be coming home. So.
Amen, amen. And that's picking up bikes?
Well, yes. Well, actually, another guy in Virginia, he bought a motorcycle from us, so I'm going to be delivering his bike. And then I got one of my guys down there in Georgia. He has a ministry. called Unashamed Discipleship, and his name is Brian, and he's a service manager at one of the Harley dealerships in Atlanta. And anyway, I'll buy some takeoff parts from him on the way back, and I got another dealership I'm going to hit and get some takeoff parts from over there in South Carolina. So what I hope to do is drop that bike off in Virginia and fill my trailer up with takeoff parts. We got a huge swap meet here at the bike shop, and I try to keep that full of parts as well. So that place is humongous, and pretty much if you got an older bike, you know, we don't have any Panhead stuff or Elo stuff, but if you got an older bike, you'll find what you need back there.
Hey, man, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I go everywhere buying parts, picking up bikes. Yeah, I mean, I bought, I say I, man, it was the motorcycle shop. We bought some bikes up there a few years ago, probably about a year ago up there where I brought your bike from Napoleon. We bought five bikes up there one time, and, you know, we go down to South Florida and get some from a friend of ours down there. It's got a bike shop. And so we buy bikes, but now we used to get most of our bikes from the auction, but it seems now with the COVID and all and the auction being the way it is, we buy most of our bikes from individuals.
You know, and that's pretty cool too, because it helps them. You know, say somebody's got a bike and you know, they run into a jam, they lost their job or even lost interest, you know, instead of being stuck
that's
with
right.
a note. You know, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool when Mike was telling me about that.
Yeah, and plus, you know, I get to sometimes share a testimony. I at least get to pray with them. And, you know, our big thing around here, and Mr. Richard, he passing out tracts, we think that is a wonderful way to share Jesus without really just shoving Jesus down somebody's throat. And it's something they can pass on to somebody else too, but they can read about the Lord. We got testimonies on some of these tracks, and so anyway, we like to pass tracks out too. So everywhere I go, every store I go into or something like that, I always try to give the clerk a track. Maybe there's a little kid in there or something, I'll hand them one. You know, so we're just trying to get the gospel out there, and traveling around is a great way to see new people that you'll probably never see again, but you can hand them a track, tell them Jesus loves you. Man, it's a blessing to be able to do that.
Amen, amen. We do, you know, we got the same thing going on being out here in trucks. You know, we never know who we're going to run
right.
into, and like you said, you know, chances of running into them again probably pretty slim to none. So, yeah, it is exciting, you know, when you decide that you're going to be obedient to God and get up off the couch, you know, he opens up a whole different world to you.
That's right. Well, that's what we do, man, and we love the Lord, and we share these tracks, man, and it's just a big part of our ministry. Almost everybody involved in it, we pass the tracks out, we pass them out here in the store, and I mean, it's just a special deal, man, and I'd love to meet you guys when y'all come down here, man. I just can't wait.
Well, we'll make sure that you're in town because somebody's got to buy lunch.
That's right. That's right. Well, don't worry. Mr. Grubb, he's got a fat wallet. We'll get in his back pocket and let him buy lunch.
That works for me. That works for me.
All right. That works for me too, man. All right.
Well, if nobody else has any more questions, I definitely don't want to hold you up any longer, Eddie. Man, I'll tell you what.
Good,
it's been an awesome evening. I really enjoyed myself. You know, I enjoy, you know, when I get a chance to tie Mike down because, man, that guy's 100 mile an hour on a slow day. And, you know,
that's
just...
Right. He is. Most bikes are. So I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you know, just to hear what you guys are doing, you know, you see, I ain't going to get into all that. You know, there's so many people that have an opportunity to do something and are not doing anything. You know, and what you guys are doing and those that you minister to, you know, that society in itself would write off as, you know, being worthless. There's no hope, you know, get away from them, that kind of thing. But, you know, the only difference between a drug addict and, fancy churchgoer is Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus, there ain't none of us that are any different than the next person. You might say, oh, I never did drugs, but I bet you've done a whole lot of other things. And the Word of God says that if you're a violator of one of my laws, you're a violator of them all. So, you know, even I hate to even put it this way, but, you know, even when you look at the vial of the vilest, you know, and you look at, you know, you don't even with the LGB agendas. Their sin is no greater than your sin. You know, each and every one of us. And you know, praise God for His blood to cover our sins. And you know that was our change. And so there is, like the Word of God says, no sin is any greater than another. Whether you're a drug addict, a murderer, a liar, a homosexual, a fornicator, or you know whatever it might be. Your sin is no different than the next person, and the only thing that separates you from that is Jesus Christ and Him alone. If you think that you're going to be a nice person and you ain't going to do this kind of stuff, I got news for you. There's a big area. I heard there's a big area in hell that's set up just for nice people. You know, because outside of Jesus Christ, there's none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, for all of you that are listening, and you heard about our brother's testimony, the transformation in his life, and you heard about the transformation in these others' lives, you know, I don't know about your founder, but the testimonies I've heard about everybody that is involved in Hell Fighters had a colorful past. They had a past that sent them straight to hell and a path that sent a lot of them to prison. But it was that transformation in Jesus Christ. And for all of you that are listening, whether it's by radio or whether it's here on the Lord's Roundtable, you know, they say 50% of all those that are sitting in church are lost. And the problem is they don't know it. But I'm talking to all of you right now. You know, there's not a single one of us that is worthy of heaven. There's not a single one of us that can do anything to earn our salvation. The Word of God says that salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't boast about what you did, because anything you did outside of Jesus Christ is just like filthy rags. You say, well, how do I get to heaven? What will open that door for me? And that door is Jesus Christ, that you have heard us talk about here tonight. The Word of God says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. It's believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, that Jesus Christ went to that cross of Calvary and died for your sins. Baptism not going to get you saved. Sprinkling of water is not going to get you saved. Going to your grandma's church that she voted on what color the carpet's going to be, that ain't going to get you saved. A preacher, a pastor, a bishop, a pope, a cardinal, a monk, they ain't none of them going to get you saved. The only thing that's going to get you saved is a confession of faith in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made for you on that cross of Calvary. If right now here tonight, amen, if right now here tonight, if you died and you tell us that, well, I might be, I'm hoping to, or does any of us know? Well, yeah, we do know. And with those comments that you might possibly be making, I can tell you where you're going. You're going to go to hell. I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm not going to give you the cookies and the warm milk gospel. I'm going to tell you the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If you do not confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you stand before Him, you're going to hear, depart from me, you doers of iniquity, and I know you not. And you will be casted out into outer darkness for an eternity. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, that here tonight, don't play Russian roulette. Would you take a revolver and put one bullet in it, or 9mm, put one bullet in it, and start clicking it at the side of your head and hoping that it don't go off? You wouldn't do that. But you are doing that with your eternal salvation if you don't make a confession of faith with Jesus Christ. When you go to bed tonight, when you go to sleep tonight, you're playing Russian roulette with your eternal salvation, because you don't know where you're going to wake up. You might wake up here on this dirt again, that you can try to spin that chamber one more time. or you're going to stand before Almighty God, and you're going to hear one of two things. Come in, my good and faithful servant, for you've ran your race. And those are the ones that have called upon Jesus to say, forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Or you're going to hear, depart from me, your doer of iniquity. Don't play Russian roulette with your eternal salvation any longer. You're not here by chance. You're here because God drew you here. You're here by a divine intervention of God. And he's talking to you. He's telling you, Jesus Christ has got that gift of salvation in his hand right now. And he's reaching his hand out to you. Are you going to take his hand? Are you going to take that gift of salvation from his hand? Are you going to take that eternal life that Jesus Christ is offering to you? That choice is yours to make. Nobody can make it for you. Don't make the wrong choice. Don't think you got time to make that choice at a later date. The Bible says that today's the day of salvation because tomorrow's not promised to you. The next bend in the road could be your last one. Tonight could be the last night you put your head on that pillow. And then you're going to stand up and you're going to be staring at God. And then look out for what he tells you. I didn't mean to get on a rant there, but the truth got to be told. There's nothing sugar-coated about it. You know, you hear him say all the time, Eddie, turn or you're going to burn. You know, there ain't nothing funny to it, but that's the way it is. So that's my spiel for the night. You know, and
that was a good one, man.
You know, I believe in that all heartedly, and there is nobody that walks the face of this earth that has ever walked the face of this earth that I hate so much or so angry with that I want to see him go to hell.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Well, Brother Eddie,
amen to that.
What a blessing it was having you here. And again,
well, thank you.
I look forward to talking with you again. And and if I might, I'd really like to pray for you before we leave.
Yes, sir, that'd be great. And, hey, listen, when y'all come down, you're going to get a full tour of this place, okay?
Amen, amen. But I told Mike, I don't know if I want to come down. If I do, with all the stuff you got going on down there, I'd need somebody to co-sign the loan. I'd have to rent a U-Haul just to get it all home again.
Amen, man.
Amen. Well, Father God, we just thank you for an awesome evening, Lord. And, Father, this evening's like no other evening, no different than any other evening when we can all come together as your children. And, Father God, I think about the holidays when families get together and all the children are there and all the grandchildren are there and there's rejoicing and there's laughing and kidding around and breaking of bread. And, Father God, that's the way I feel here tonight, Lord, and each and every night when we're able to come into the Lord's round table, that we're all sitting here in the house of God. We're sitting in the presence of Almighty God. I thank you, Jesus, that when you died on that cross of Calvary, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom, that opened it up, that we don't need nobody to come into the presence of God. We can walk in on our own feet. And I thank you for that. And Father God, I thank you for this evening where we could all come together and have fellowship and just have a good time. And that's what being around your table is all about, coming and having a good time and sharing of what your son has done for us, what you have done for us. Father, you say you had a plan for us before we even conceived in our mother's wombs, before the very foundation of this world. And Lord God, I know that our plans for this evening that you had for us was to be here. Father, I lift my brother Eddie up to you, Lord, and I'm just praising you, Father God, for the transformation of his life. I'm praising you, Father, for how you restored life to him. And Father God gave him a hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. That, Father God, he called upon your son's name, and you just totally revolutionized his life. And I praise you for that, Lord. I praise you, Father, for all those that hell fighters that has a heart for those that are beaten up, broken up, and tore down. Father, you say that what they have done unto the least of these, they have done unto me. And Father God, I'm not saying that these men are the least. Lord, they're no different than any of us. We've all made mistakes, and with mistakes there's repercussions. And Father, each and every one has faced those repercussions, and I'd imagine the majority of our listening people right now have made bad decisions. There's no doubt about it. But I pray for each and every one at Health Fighters and what they're doing. And I pray for those that have surrendered and they know that they need there's a need for a risen Savior, and they've come into that program seeking you, Father, seeking you. You said we seek you, we'll find you, and we call upon you, you'll answer us. So, Father, I pray your blessings upon that ministry. I pray your hedge of protection around Eddie as he's traveling. Give him traveling mercies, Lord. Let no hurt or harm or evil wicked thing come against him, Father. I pray, Father God, that as he's traveling, that he shares the gospel of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you let him see that low-hanging fruit, Father God, and he'll see what sowing a seed is all about. And I pray for souls to be saved, Lord. So, Father God, we just give you all the praise. And I pray for all the drivers that are out here, Lord. I pray your hedge of protection around them. You get them home safely. For those that aren't in the driving industry, Father God, those that are out here serving us, whether it's in law enforcement, we lift them up to you. We lift up firefighters. We lift up ambulance drivers, doctors, nurses, all those that have been put in a place to help people, to reach out and try to make a difference in their lives. But, Father God, the only difference that's going to be made in their lives is Jesus Christ and him alone. So, Father, I just praise you for this evening. I praise you for each and everyone that's been here this evening, Lord. I pray that they got the blessing out of tonight's service as much as I did. And, Lord, we give you all the glory and honor. And we pray this by no other name but the name of Jesus. Good night, everybody. We love you, and we look forward to another time when we can do it again. And, Eddie, you ain't got to be the guest speaker to come and join with us.
Okay.
You can come on every Thursday, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the invite. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, good night, everybody.
God bless.
God bless.
Good night.